Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
This may be it. The contact we've been waiting for is being picked up on the frequency reserved for international emergencies. We're monitoring and...
21. 20. 19.
There, you hear 8, it. It's in English.
7.
No, I'm told that it's in 6, different languages all around the world.
Couples, threads, dudes, all, and here, they come. October, Sheva, Shish, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star Fam? Thanks for tuning in. You are receiving a live transmission from Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt, and today is Friday, February 3rd, 2012, and the month is flying by. It flew by. I don't even know where the time is going, but time is definitely speeding up. And remember to check out DomainEcoVillage.com. Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by the Domain Eco Village. The Domain is an exclusive community for people with an environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. So check it out, DomainEcoVillage.com. It's a fully self-sustainable eco-village built on solar power out of geodesic domes, water, rainwater, and it's an amazing way to live. And that's what we're headed to. And that's what this show is about, sustainability, about green, about spirituality. And this year is the self-sustainability 2012. So that's what's up. Check out DomainEcoVillage.com. It's amazing, amazing stuff going on, and check it out. Joining me tonight, we have an awesome show. We have none other than David Sarita, UFO researcher and filmmaker. Check out davidsarita.blogspot.com. He is one of the world's top UFO researchers. He'll be joining us the second half of the show. First, we're going to have Chris Hoover joining us on the show. He's an author and visionary with a new book that he has out. You can check out imagine-freedom.com. And then we're going to have a Cosmic Code Galactic Update from Dr. Lewis Torrey, the astrotherapy and hypnotherapy, and also an astropsychologist, one of the top in the world, drtory.com. And then we're going to get some 3D world news updates from Ryan Dernick. He is the writer for GCN Network and also the bellwetherpost.com. That's his blog. He's also the founder of that. So check that out. And before we get started, a quick shout out to all the Star Fam, Galactic Federation of Light, all the Starship Commanders out there, Palladians, Octorians, and all multiple dimensional beings. Thank you guys for doing all the work behind the scenes. And the big graduation day that's coming up, and disclosure, looking forward to it. Awesome. Boop. Shout out to you guys. So let's jump into it. Just going to touch on a couple things, give you some updates real quick. Talk about Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street has been going on for over 4 months now. And we talked about how Egypt, they had the one-year anniversary. And now thousands of fans have been all over the main square in Cairo. There's been over 70 deaths. And things are really happening over there. So, and that's happening all over the world, not just in Egypt, but in over 80 countries. We have Occupy movements here in Pittsburgh. The cops and police are trying to knock out the Occupy protesters. And it's just, it's amazing, this movement that's going on. So support it. Check out OccupyTheNation.com. Also, some crazy news that happened. Obama appoints the VP of Monsanto as head of the FDA. I mean, go figure that one. Obama does whatever he wants, puts all his cronies in the positions. And it's crazy because a lot of people in the spiritual community that I heard talk about how Obama is chosen. He's a white hat, and he is of the light. But actions speak louder than words. I don't know. All these things are happening. He's signing them, the NDA bill. I mean, you name it. So it's a tough call. I don't know. But, again, everyone has a different opinion. So it's hard to know exactly what is your truth. We'll see what resonates with you on the show. And do your own research for all the stuff we talk about. Check things out yourself. Google it, YouTube it, and see what's up. Shout out to North Carolina here. This is really some big news. North Carolina County official rejects New World Order Environmental Agenda 21 climate change takeover. If you don't know what Agenda 21 is, Google it, check it out. Agenda 21, it's basically how the UN Council and others, you can go to the UN Council's website, it's on there, have a massive program, environmental, social engineering, and global political control, where they are basically trying to shape humanity to control our environment, social engineering, and global population. And Agenda 21, so North Carolina, so the court there and the county says that that's it. They had enough of it. I mean, look at the chemtrails, fluoride. I mean, it's obvious what they're doing, poisoning us. The good news is that we're light beings, and that kind of stuff is not going to stop us. We're here for the great awakening and transformation of the planet, and that's what's up. Real quickly, one last thing I just want to mention. And this is just crazy. Two British tourists were barred from entering America after joking on Twitter that they're going to destroy America. And Britons do that. They talk about destroy. We're going to go out and destroy the clubs tonight. Well, some guy tweeted, we're going to go over there and destroy America, meaning they're going to go out and party. They go into LAX out in Los Angeles. They end up arrested, him and his wife, arrested, handcuffed behind the back, sent to a Mexican prison where they spent the night, and then were detained for the night, 24 hours, and then sent back to UK for tweeting. For tweeting. Just a comment. And that's what's going on. That's the news. So let's go into Chris. Chris is joining us live on the show now. And I met Chris about a year ago. He's definitely an awesome, enlightened being. And he was always talking to me about this vision and dream he had and how he wanted to write a book about it. And I said, go ahead and do it. Rock it out. And he did. And now joining us on the show is Chris with his new book. You can check out imagine-freedom.com. And Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Jonah. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been a long time coming. Been working on this book actually for about 10 years. Was partially inspired by a dream I had about 20 years ago. And then through a series of real life experiences, I began to see synergy between the dream and those experiences I was having in real life. And ironically, they started in Costa Rica. And so I've been back and forth to Costa Rica 3 times in the past decade, and the last time I was there for a year. And, during that year, I got re-inspired really to finish what I wrote. And I didn't even really realize that until I got back into the United States, which was about a year ago.
And so, tell us about the book, the vision you had, the book, and how it's going to help people, how it's going to help people awaken or teach them something.
Sure. Well, the vision was, again, inspired from a dream. And the dream had a lot of abstract situations in it. There was portals to another world. There was space monkeys from another dimension. There was these evil kind of military commando types that you might compare to the New World Order. it inspired me, and it's just been an evolving thing. And basically, the moral of the story of the book is that we all need to look forward with courage and inspiration and realize that we all have the ability to create our own reality. That's really the moral to the book. And that's a very, very quick synopsis on it. But that's the general moral of the story.
Awesome. That's what's up. And you can check out Chris's book and more about Chris himself at imagine-freedom.com. And I just want to give you a shout out on the show and have you come on. And awesome that you got your book done, man. I'm so happy for you, Star Bro. It's really cool. And with that, thanks for coming on the show. I know it's quick, but we got four more guests coming on. So it was good having you. And we'll have you back in a couple months on the show to talk more about the book and what people's reactions are of it.
Well, sure. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm looking forward to it, Jonah.
Awesome. Cool. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to listen to some more of the tracks that I was playing earlier. It's District 808 by DJ Rec. It's some Miami dub bass that I love, so I want to play that tonight. And also, it fits in correctly with our guest tonight. So we're going to listen a little more of that, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Dr. Tori. Enjoy. Welcome back to the show. That was a little more from District 808 from DJ Rec. And now we're going to hear a Cosmic Code update from Dr. Lewis Tori. You can check out drtori.com. Dr. Tori is very well known throughout the world. You can just Google him, check him out. And he's going to give us a quick update synopsis on this next month of what's coming on and what he sees coming. For us, he's a psychic, one of the world's top. He has hundreds and hundreds of predictions that he has written years in advance on paper, documented, and things have come true. He has a huge following and very well respected and well known around the world. So with that, Dr. Tori, you're on the show.
Hi, I'm right here. Thank you for having me, John.
Excellent. No, no worries. So give us an update on what's going on, Cosmic Code update, how's this next month going to be, and what do you see?
Well, basically, we are closing to a full moon very soon, which is going to have quite a strong electrifying energy. So I'm expecting some sudden release of energy around the 6, the 7. That energy is very, very, very close. So let's say the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th, I see a lot of people being forced to relocate because of a natural disaster or large earthquakes. So these are the dates, the immediate date, which are very next door, so to speak, where you have to be cautious, and it's all around the full moon time. So that's what I see. And after that, there is another negative energy, which will be around the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. During those days, I see something that has to do with terrorism, something that has to do with drama, and that will take quite a lot of lives. Sad enough, I have to emphasize the negativity because this is what people tend to remember. And then around the middle of the month, let's say around the 20th, the 21st, that's where a lot of discussion will be taking place with Iran and with nukes. That is around the 19th, the 20th, and the 20th of February. So this month's going to be a month of shocking, surprising, extraordinary news that some people expect because what's going on with Iran and nukes and everything else. But it's going to be quite of an interesting month where you can be prepared to expect anything that may not necessarily be what you wanna hear. So that's what the month of February is all about. Then after the 22nd, things will cool down a little bit in terms of a few people making progress and things, you know, being on the table to discuss again. But as I said, the key word for this month is all about shocking news, explosion, and nuke and natural disaster. So I give you some dates. I hope you wrote it down for your audience. So just stand by and be prepared.
Yeah, thank you so much. And like you said, you know, we want to hear the truth, and some people may not like what they hear, and a lot of people in the spiritual community want to ignore these things and stuff, but you need to be aware of these things because it's the world around you, and there's big changes coming all year, and like you talked about when you were last time on the show, and there's big shock and awe coming in all directions. So you heard it from Dr. Torrey. This next month is going to be a rocky one, but it's more signs of why the world needs to change. Correct, Dr. Torrey?
Indeed. We are shutting down the age of Pisces, the age of religion, the age of misinformation, the age of controlling the information, and we are moving into the age of Aquarius, which is humanitarian, which is freedom, which is the truth, which is shocking. So when you're closing an age, it always involves a lot of interesting development, and we are on that direction. So as I said, the month of February is a month of shocking news.
Wow. Well, Dr. Torrey, thank you so much for coming on the show. And as always, Dr. Torrey will be joining us once a month to give us Cosmic Code updates, what he sees. And it'll be the third Friday of each month. So check out drtorrey.com. And Dr. Torrey, as always, thank you for coming on the show.
You bet. Thank you for having me, Jonah. You have a good night, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you. You too. And with that, we're going to jump to our next guest. And this guest is actually live with us in Studio B. And sitting with me here is Bob. And Bob, I met just recently here in the Asheville area. And he is a local, just a regular person like myself who is just concerned about things that are going on. He has something called common sense, which a lot of people don't have these days, but it's glad to find people that have it. And it's good. So, Bob, how you feeling? Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's really, really cool to be here, man. Really cool to be a part of this. You know, I'm just it's great to meet like-minded people that are actually in tune to all the nonsense that a lot of people are either ignoring or choosing to look the other way for, you know, the inability to deal with it, you know. Really interesting to be a part of this. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Yeah, and let's jump into real quickly. You know, one of the things you brought up to me when I was talking yesterday is you're like, there's so many things going on. They're poisoning us with fluoride and chemtrails, all this stuff. And you're like, well, what can we do? You know, you have kids, you're married, and you're like, what can we do? You're just a concerned parent. And, you know, some of the things you can do is don't drink fluoridated water. Try to drink water that's not fluoridated, natural spring water. I mean, there's lots of things you could do. But talk about some of the frustrations that you see as a parent and what's going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My wife and I actually, you know, she our one child is a little older, so he's got they say to start giving your child fluoride toothpaste. And, you know, he can't spit very well. I watch him spit. I'm like, hon, let's just keep him on the baby toothpaste. You know, this stuff is not good for him. You know, if you want to send your kid to public school, you've got to get them vaccinated. And, you know, for me, you're kind of – you know what, we're not in a position to homeschool, and you have to get the shots. So they want to give you like 10, 15 shots at once. The way, I handle it is I'm like, look, he's not getting them all today. He's going to get a few and let his body acclimate, and then, you get a few more the next time. But it's a really tough spot to be in with this world we're living in right now. This false war on terror that it's going to go on forever. Your last guest talking about Iran and the nukes, and I hope they're the real powers that be out there. If things start to pop off, I'm hoping they shut them down like they seem to be able to do.
Yeah, it's interesting times indeed. And do you find yourself when talking to other parents, like in the area, that other parents are concerned? I know Asheville has a lot of awakened people that are up to this stuff. I mean, do you find that good connectivity here with the people in Asheville?
Absolutely. It's a huge, there's a big organic, very, earthy, organic thing going on here.
Yeah, that's what I get here.
My brother's an organic farmer, so, I've got it, some insider knowledge on a lot of the stuff that they're putting in the food and how nutrient deficient, the vegetables and things that you buy at the store are. And, the Masata thing you mentioned is just ridiculous. It's like the fox watching the hen house. I mean, how can appoint somebody that's got such a vested interest in promoting unhealthy food be in charge of what healthy food's supposed to be?
Absolutely. And that's one of the most important things. And the first thing I noticed about Bob actually was at the gym where we work out was, you were going around telling people about the TSA and something going on, informing people. And that is the strongest thing you can do. People say, well, what can I do? What can I do? Inform people. Talk to people. One by one is how we awaken, whether it's telling people about fluoride or the school systems or vaccinations, but it's information that is power. Like Alex Jones says, it's an info war. So just talking to people is how powerful we are. You don't have to do anything. Talk to people. And that is enough.
Couldn't agree with you more, Jonah. We couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how I noticed you. And I was like, that's me. Running around informing people like, hey, did you know this? Did you know that? And that's it. And you spark people up. And that's what we're here to do. So that's awesome. Good work. And thanks for coming to the studio.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Cool. And with that, we're going to get Ryan Dernick on the line. The station patched them in. So he has beamed them here to the mothership where we're transmitting the live transmission. And always Ryan's going to give us a 3D update on some of the things we talked about. But let's go ahead and get started. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. So let's jump into some 3D updates. Let's go into the Earth changes. Lots of stuff happening. I know that snow fell in Rome for the first time in 26 years. It's minus 12 in Britain. It's as cold as the Himalayas. There's a big freeze going on. And it's crazy all over the world. So what else can you tell us? What's going on?
Yeah, the jet streams really dove pretty far south for even this time of year. It is winter, but much further south than normal. And that's why they've had such heavy snows over and as you said in Rome, that has been a rarity since 26 years ago. But in regards to other Earth changes besides atmospheric changes that are much more constant, we had a 6.3, which was near the coast of central Peru, and that was about 5 days ago. And then there were a couple of 4.8s near Indonesia, and then we also had a 7.1 in Vanuatu, and we know Vanuatu is home of Kava. And then the following day, there was a 6.0, and then the multiple aftershocks ranging at 4.7, and all of those had a depth of about 34 kilometers. Then the Peruvian earthquake had a depth of about 100 kilometers. And then the final earthquake, most recently, was a 5.1 magnitude in the Taiwan region, and that was at a depth of 127 kilometers. Other than that, it's been pretty tranquil. There's been a couple 2.5s, 2.7s, and in Central California, nothing too prominent, and in that ballpark, it's been pretty tranquil. And then on to other news, solar terrestrial update, and you can also check this out for yourselves if you like. It is a lot of scientific jargon. It's at www.solarinfo.com. Right now, the geomagnetic field is quiet, actually, and the solar wind speed is not that high. It was only at 300 kilometers per second. And we're under the influence of some radiation from a coronal hole Other than that, there are no coronal mass ejections focused on us at all, and it looks pretty tranquil in regards to that. And actually, besides the fact that we have had a lot of solar storms, we had two of them, one on January 21st and one on January 24th, the sun actually, besides affecting the geomagnetism of the Earth, it actually can affect the biochemistry of plants and animals on Earth. There's been actually correlations done in recent studies that there is a noted decrease in the body's ability to actually produce melatonin. And melatonin, as we know, is released when you fall, and it aids in the ability to fall asleep. And sometimes if you don't have the ability to fall asleep that well, people will opt to take things that they'll help them fall asleep, like Ambien, or they'll actually take melatonin pills. So it has to do with it messes with the electrical currents from the on the magnetic field of the body, just like it affects the Earth. And environmental scientist Neil Sherry of 2001 reviewed a large number of studies that identified significant physical, biological, and health effects that are associated with changes in solar and geomagnetic activity, and suggested that the shamanic resonance, or frequencies that link solar and geomagnetic activity, and what links solar activity, the effects on human health and behavior. And so everything on Earth is driven by these cycles, and the as you know, the circadian rhythm is a cycle that everything a living being on Earth we experience, which is roughly 24-hour daily cycle. Professor Hans Franz Hanselberg of University of Minnesota and board member of GCI coined the term circadian, is widely considered the father of chronobiology. And chronobiology is a science that examines cycles of living organisms as well as their adaptation to solar and lunar-related rhythms. That's why you'll have nocturnal animals and you'll have diurnal animals. So the chrono pertains to time and biology to living organisms. And the 24-hour cycle influences biochemical, physiological, and behavioral processes within these. So it
affects everything. It affects everything from us, from our moods to the plants, the animals, the trees, and as we get closer to 2012, the galactic alignment, these things are going to be increasing. More mass coronal ejections, more solar flares, solar stuff like that. And with the Earth changes, what's up with some 3D updates? I know Obama appointed the VP of Monsanto this week as the head of the FDA. I mean, things are crazy. But what else is going on with the financial and also the economical stance of the world right now?
As they reported, actually, surprisingly, I'm sure that they doctored files, but they said that unemployment is down, and that job growth is up. I don't
BS.
Know that, that. Yeah, I would say that that's regional BS from the Beltway. We could call that Beltway BS. I just think it's more jargon, more semantics to kind of to corral the mentality vis-a-vis all the mainstream media corporations that are controlled by massive corporations. I mean, a GE, for instance, they own MSNBC. CNN is owned by AOL Time Warner. News Corp owns Fox News. ABC is owned by Disney. Hey guys, it's Mickey Mouse. Ha ha. And so if you look at it, it's insane that these people they microcosmically channel pigeonhole a very soft serve amount of news, and they expect that if they baby feed, spoon feed the public, that they'll be satiated, they'll be pacified, and that they won't do their own research.
And they do.
Yes.
And that has to do with also the fluoridation of the water and things like that, and that's part of the show this year is don't drink fluoridated water. Don't use fluoride toothpaste. Do things to uncalcify your pineal gland. You don't want that stuff in there. And real quickly, jump into some Occupy updates. There are some Occupy updates going on. What can you tell us about that?
Occupy updates, as the fervor is increasing ever since what has gone on in the Supreme Court and over – in California, ever since there was people that were arrested in Oakland, and ever since the arrests that have gone down there, they basically seen that there's definitely uptick in the implement, if you will, of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and now that they can just go about and arrest the individuals of Occupy, because there is no true First Amendment. If there was a First Amendment right, a freedom of speech, you would see that inalienable right, constitutional right, would be there, and that those people would still be able to protest freely. And so that has really sparked an uptick, and now the rhetoric coming from Occupy and the passion, I think it's reignited the resistance of Occupy and what they stand for, which is instilling freedom and fighting for the 99% that are being overturned by 1% of the population, which is astonishing.
Awesome. That's what's up. Well, Ryan, thank you so much again for coming on the show. As always, we love to have you on the show. You always give us good sound information. Again, listeners, Google this stuff yourself and check it out, because what we talk about is truth on this show, and you need to find it that it's truth for yourself. So, Ryan, thanks for joining us. You can check out your website at bellwetherpost.com, and that's bellwetherpost.com. Ryan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, as always, John.
Awesome. And with that, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have David Cerita on the air. And with that, enjoy some more of District 808. We'll be right back. Now joining us on the show is none other than David Cerita at davidcerita.blogspot.com is his site. And David Cerita is well known for his UFO research, UFO propulsion, his films, his photography, his art, his books, his papers. And David, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. So, David, let's just start off. I'd like to know, like, personally, when you first got started with UFOs, what was your, like, awakening to something was greater?
Well, I've probably said this story many, many times, but when I was 7 years old, growing up in Berkeley, California, my family were all Canadian Ukrainians. Growing up in Berkeley in the 1960s, in 1967, 68, I saw a flying saucer hovering in the sky above and very clean view of the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab, what is now the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab and the campus. And it was down low, and everybody saw it. And after 20 minutes of looking at this thing and huge crowds assembling, it just went into another dimension. It didn't accelerate like a jet. It just blinked out and it was gone. And, you know, that is real mystery for me about UFO technology is, you know, we think if we attain anti-gravity that we're really there. We really figured it out. And it's really only the beginning of figuring it out. And, you know, when you have an experience like that, it really upsets the standard view. You know, my father's a PhD in psychology. My mother's an attorney. And my uncle's a Superior Court judge. And I couldn't go down that road. I couldn't do what they did and what they would have liked me to do. Because, you know, I wanted answers to my UFO experience. And when, you know, you see all these videos on YouTube now, so many fake UFO videos, what you really need is good eyewitness reports. You need people who said they were there and this is what they saw. And the reports all confirm one another, because video in this day and age is frankly unbelievable. In fact, if I have in my possession, and I do from a reliable source, a picture of what I'm told is the real Roswell alien, and I've never released it to the world, and I do release it, no one's going to believe it, because there's too many ways to create things artificially and with special effects, but also just with, you know, a good artist, so that there's no way in the world that anyone's going to believe a picture anymore. No one will absolutely say, well, if you got a video of a UFO on film, then that's got to be real. But testimonies, to me, still flies, still stands. And so I don't have pictures of my sighting when I was that age, but the memory is just embellished in my consciousness and has never left me. I've never been normal since.
And that's from what I've understand for a lot of people is once you have these experiences, like when I had mine about a year and a half ago, and I consider myself fully awakened, I can't tell myself, my own brain, I didn't have that experience. I can't lie to myself because I had a spiritual experience in my physical body. And after that point, everything changed for me because I couldn't tell myself a lie that what I've always felt and believed in or thought was now true because I had this experience. So I find that with most of us, that once we have these experiences, it really changes our direction because we just don't believe the programming and the lies anymore. And you talk a lot about on your website a lot of different things. And one of the things, like you just mentioned, is the anti-gravity. Explain to the listeners exactly what that is and what they're trying to do with anti-gravity with the UFO ships.
Well, my website is actually lightstreamtechnologies.com. The blogspot site, I haven't been there in ages, but there is a lot of stuff there. Anti-gravity is something I'm working towards, you know, attaining a very stable form of anti-gravity. And I think I understand from a subatomic quantum perspective how to create it and how to create it on a larger scale. But just to be able to do that, I mean, it seems so ridiculous that with all of these great physicists in the world, all these incredible billions of dollars spent on particle accelerators, that nobody in the mainstream physics community has ever taken on anti-gravity. And in fact, they don't know how. And there really are answers to how we can really get to this dream flotation space technology where we're not using these crude rocket engines and firing huge amounts of fuel out of thruster engines to get anywhere. It just seems utterly ridiculous that it's not even talked about. Anti-gravity is not even talked about in school. When you take advanced courses in math and science, it's nowhere. It doesn't exist anywhere.
And why?
It doesn't, because I think they're highly, highly embarrassed that they don't really know what gravity is and how it really works. And there are some developments on, like, gravity detectors, spending hundreds of millions of dollars trying to detect gravity. And we look at, you know, money being spent in those areas and we think, you know, what a waste. Why are you spending so much money when there's all these fringe scientists who are actually producing results in the anti-gravity area? And I've worked with some of them. And I keep my actual technology part of it, you know, fairly open. You know, I gave a lecture at the UFO Congress a few years ago, and I gave some big clues on how I would reverse engineer anti-gravity, and I left a huge, huge pieces of it out. And I was hoping to raise some capital so I could do it, and what ended up happening is a whole bunch of people tried to build it without me, and it didn't work. Well, that's because I left the most important parts out of the picture, and they couldn't figure out what those were on their own. So anti-gravity would turn the world upside down. You could levitate an iceberg and drop it in a dry lake bed, and you'd have water. You know, it would change agriculture. It would change architecture. It would change civilization. You'd be able to live in a massive stone palace in the Himalayas and fly to Hawaii, you know, in 5 minutes. So it would change real estate. It's so disturbing to every aspect of economics that I really think the reasons to keep it from the masses, and the fact that we do have it. I have, you know, plenty of proof from very high sources at Lockheed Martin and even NASA that we really have it. We just don't, we don't want the world to have it because of what it would do to the economic structure of the prison, you know, the system of keeping everybody in a little box for a house and making payments on it for 40 years until you die. You know, it would change all that. And unfortunately, our world leaders don't really see that it would be beneficial to all of human life if we actually started to travel and inhabit different regions of the galaxy. They don't really see that that would be a good idea. I think they want to keep us in this model where, you know, you get a 40-year mortgage, a bunch of guys built a house in 6 months,
sure,
and you're going to pay for it for 40 years and be a slave and not be able to be, to think differently. And just to be able to think differently, you have to have the time to think differently. And to keep everybody in economic slavery, you don't even get that as a luxury unless you have, unless you're hosting a radio show and you can make a living and think about this kind of stuff all day long.
That's right, and I've noticed that just from people and friends and family I've talked to. I open someone's, you know, third eye up or something and of a subject, and right back the next day they have to go to work, they have to pay bills, and they're just in that 24/7 grind, and they can't do it. And there is free technology, free energy out there, like zero point energy and all sorts of stuff. And the alternative energy is so important, but the oil giants and banks, you know, the elites run it and don't want this stuff. But I think that in this next year and years coming up, that these technologies are coming out, these alternative ways, alternative energy. Do you get a sense of that too, that over the next couple of years that more of these technologies will be coming out?
Well, I see a lot of good innovative thinkers on YouTube who are tinkers and building some very, very interesting devices. I mean, if we were smart and we actually paid people to do this and even paid and taught meditation in our universities, we would see higher levels of creative insighting, and we would already be there, you know, on a massive scale. And it's not that we don't want to succeed, you know, economically and with technology in this country, because that is what has made in the past America this great leader. You know, we're always coming out with new and better technologies, and they always start in this country first. Like, you don't hear about the laptop computer or the computer being born in Europe. It was born here. You know, the airplane was born here. You know, Tesla was, you know, a Yugoslavian inventor, but they weren't interested in him in his own country. He did everything here. And Edison did everything here, and the Wright brothers did everything here, and the automobile did it. It all happened here. And so this is a great, there's a great consciousness in America that deserves a compliment for creating the fertile soil for these kind of things to come about. But we believe so much in money and debt that we forgot what it really represents. Money represents creative thinking and ideas that turn into products and, you know, gross national product. And money really is the food we eat. It's the car we drive. And we don't have a shortage. There is no shortage of goods and services and thinking and labor. But what we forgot is that when you create this enormous disease called debt, which isn't even real, then people can't think anymore. They become very primitive in their consciousness. They have to pay their rent or their mortgage. They don't get these long, big, creative, open spaces to invent and be creative. So YouTube has kind of shown us, well, there's all these guys who knows if these kids are living at home still, and that's why they have free time, because they can go build these science experiments in their garage. And they're coming out with some stuff that is a lot better than you see in a lot of the best research labs in the country today. Things that are practical. I mean, talking about practical things. There's a lot of exotic research going on with particle physics, very exciting stuff, but a lot of it doesn't result in a real practical application. Some of it does. Eventually. I mean, I have a new science, you know, video on YouTube where I have my new energy light wand that has a very unique crystal oscillator electromagnet, and I'm pulsing through a signal generator 48 hidden mathematical frequencies I spent 2 months mathematically decoding in the Great Pyramid. And when I pulse them through at very low energy, you know, 35, 40 watts of power, these magnets start spinning around on these plates. And I realize, oh, my God, this is so powerful. What's happening here with so little power? And you can't do that with any single frequency. I've tried it. You know, you can't get the magnets to move around, the little ball magnets to move around in spirals on plates with any single frequency, a solfeggio frequency, the 432, the 528, nothing will move them. But one of my realizations about it is that doing the math on the pyramid, which has never been done, to see not the pyramid as a resonant frequency device, I'm talking about the mathematical frequencies, seeing the Great Pyramid as a crystal oscillator, as a true crystal oscillator as we use in microelectronics, but on a much, much more massive scale. I, looking at the numbers that I'm looking at, and I have 48 of them so far, and I've got more to go, I realize what this thing really was. And the pyramids were probably the world's first analog super, super cosmic crystal oscillator devices to teleport persons into another universe where they are able to move physically to a distant location, possibly the star systems that many of the pyramid sets represent, such as Orion's Belt. The Great Pyramid of Egypt is clearly in the representation of Orion's Belt. And many, many pyramids all over the world, as Wayne Herschel has discovered, are pointing to the Pleiades star system. Mm-hmm. And the Pleiades star system interests me because when I saw my UFO in Berkeley in 1967-68, it was they appeared to me in my behind my sleep in the following weeks, and they told me they were from that star system, and I didn't know the name of that star system at 7 years old. You know, I just knew what it looked like when they showed it to me, and they were human. They were much taller than us, but they were completely human. And they were showing me how their craft worked and how I could learn, and never saw them again for the rest of my life. Now, why build pyramids that resemble, if you look at microelectronics and you study the history of solid-state physics, which is, solid-state just means the study of solid materials, from crystals to gems to metals, to materials. It's material science, and it's all the best physicists in the world in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, Einstein, Dirac, Bohr, all of them, and many more that no one's ever heard of, were studying the powers and the qualities of different materials. And it's because of that research that we were led to the discoveries of crystal oscillators and transistors. And transistors, there's millions of these little slices of crystal and conductor, millions of them in a single Intel computer chip that allows, you know, your computer to be doing all these different functions. And it's all crystal-based technology, all of it. In fact, we'd be nowhere without the transistor, these tiny little things now that you can't even see, they're so small. Millions of them in these single chips. Well, when you understand how those things work in layering of materials. You need different materials in different layers. Like you'll put a quartz crystal or pure, you know, quartz base, and then you'll put some, chemically they'll add some phosphorus or boron to the surface of the quartz crystal, and then your conductive or gold or silver or other conductive layers to create your positive-negative-positive or negative-positive-negative transistors. And the layering of the materials creates differentials, which is difference, which is what voltage is. To get electricity to flow from one point to another, you have to create these differences in layers. Well, the Great Pyramid has all those classic layers in it. It has a solid, you know, has the granite core, and it has a outer layer of limestone that contains a lot of the magnesium, and then it has an insulator layer of limestone on the outside. And my belief is, my secret belief is, these things were had other materials in them that were conductive. I'm not going to say how that was configured yet, but I think I know how it was. And because I knew that, I was able to calculate the actual resonant, electronic resonant frequencies of the pyramid and did all the math, and then I processed all of the frequencies through a signal generator with very, very low amount of electricity going into these super energy wands, which you can see in action on YouTube. If you search my name, Spaceman99 is my channel, you'll see these magnets moving around with this tiny amount of energy with the pyramid frequencies going through it. And what I'm doing is I'm creating a hologram of the Great Pyramid without the pyramid. Because in those days, they did everything. They did have electricity in Egypt. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that. There's no doubt they had batteries. They had the big light bulb at Dendera, which I believe is a wand, very much so like my wand, used to activate the resonance of the giant stones. And once you get a crystal oscillator with those dimensions, those miraculous dimensions, as Peter Lemazurier has discovered in the 1970s, you read his book, The Great Pyramid Decoded, it will blow your frickin' mind. That book is amazing. You'll realize that this thing was a giant stone crystal oscillator with all the properties of a transistor or a crystal oscillator on a large scale. And what would happen if you turned it on? My God, what would happen if you turned it on? Well, now, realizing that I can create the same frequencies that the pyramid generated, but do it digitally, I don't need to have all that stone sitting there to produce the effect that it's creating. I can just do the math and then produce all of those harmonics. And I actually, I'm generating 48 of the pyramid's frequencies now, and I'm getting this incredible effect. I know I'm on to something. But right now, what we've done with this crystal wand, which I sell at lightstreamtechnologies.com, we are having amazing spiritual experiences producing the pyramid hologram around us before bedtime and also in states of meditation. So wow. When you look at the photograph of the Dendera light, I mean, just Google Dendera light, you know, while we're talking, you'll see these small human-sized figures sitting underneath it and holding their hands upwards to it as if they're receiving its vibration, not its light. I really don't believe it was a light bulb. This thing is a giant magnetic field-generating wand is what I believe it was. And then you'll notice there's these really tall people off to the side who are holding it. Now, those aren't kids underneath. Those are humans. And remember, the royal cubit was measured, it's the elbow to the tip of the fingers for the cubit, and the royal cubit is one hand length longer. And that is because the gods, the demigods, are bigger than us. They're human, but they're bigger than us. And that's exactly what I experienced when I met the Palladians when I was a little kid after my UFO sighting. They were about 8 feet tall, so quite a bit taller than us. And you'll notice in the Dendera light photo, which is on Wikipedia, beautiful photo somebody put there, you'll notice that they're holding their hands up to it. You would never sit that close to a light bulb that big. I mean, it would blind you.
Sure.
So it's not a light bulb. And my experiment with the wand, I don't know, you could even post it on your website. Do you have a way of posting anything? Or?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Just send it to me after the show.
Yeah, I'll send it to you after the show, and you can post it, and people can go if they can't find my Spaceman99 channel, and you'll see what the hidden clues are and what the pyramids were really doing, what they were really up to. And I really believe the secret to the UFO's propulsion system is it's not about, okay, canceling the gravity out, floating above the planet is very important. But where did the UFO go when it disappeared that day is the greater part of the mystery. And rather than creating wormholes, which are mathematically almost impossible, they are impossible, because they take the negative energy of hundreds of millions of stars just to produce one wormhole to fit a quarter-sized object through the hole, and that's just those kind of energy levels don't exist anywhere. So that's not how they're doing it. There's something, you know, we think in linear terms. You know, we think of a spaceship traveling in a line and a curvature and trying to reach its target in an estimated, you know, huge length of time. But we don't think in terms of the actual vibration of a location in the curvature of space-time. That every single point in the galaxy has its own set of harmonic ratios and codes. And if you knew how to vibrate the atoms in a pilot or a person or a meditator physically, those exact vibrational codes, would that person, that pilot, be teleported there faster than the speed of light? And this is where it gets really interesting, because crystals, once again, have hidden properties that were discovered of them long ago that do that. And I'll give you an amazing example. In the early days of solid-state physics, one of the discoveries that led to the birth of the transistor was scientists discovered these things called electron holes, like mini, mini black holes, vortex holes, on the surface of crystals. And no one, not Einstein, not anybody, could figure out the math for the strange observable effects around the holes, the surface of crystals, and what they were even doing there. But they did know that extra energy was floating around on the surface of crystals, which is why they realized, oh my God, this would make a great amplifier, because electrons are the traveling particles that carry the electric force. So you have electrons running down your copper wires, just like water goes down a stream, and when it hits the paddle, it moves the paddle. Well, when the electrons hit your blender, it moves the blender, you know, to make it really simple. So your electrons are your carriers of your of the electric force, and they're floating, extra electrons not bound to a nucleus of an atom are floating free on the surface of the crystal. So a guy named William Shockley, John Bardeen, and Will Bratton, right around the time of the Roswell incident, coincidentally or not, discovered that we can eventually, they were destined to figure out how to get a crystal to amplify a very, very weak signal. And they finally did it. They did it in 1947. And it was, they won the Nobel Prize. It's a long story. Their idea was stolen and eventually ended up at a company called Intel, and they pretty much took all their ideas and made most of the money on it. But nevertheless, that little crystal amplifier changed the world. But nobody thought, well, what if I could make the holes in semiconductor just means crystal, bigger? And what if I could open that hole bigger and more energy or electrons could come out of it? And that's, you know, reading the notes, the, you know, very, very old history books about the history of solid state, nobody understood the electron holes in crystals better than Paul Dirac. And I'm satisfied that his thesis on electron holes in semiconductors is the most interesting. But awesome. They still didn't go very far. Now then, in the 19...
David, we have about 30 seconds, so we have to another show, so... If you can, just wrap it up.
Well, we're done for tonight?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, we have another show coming on, so we have about a minute left, 30 seconds.
Okay, well, a guy named a physicist at UC Berkeley, Raymond Chow, got photons, particles of light, to go through crystal sheets faster than the speed of light. They went through the hole.
Wow.
They went through the holes, and this is an enormous subject. He has no idea why it happened. But if people are interested, I have super energy crystal pendants at lightstreamtechnologies.com, and I have the wands there too. Check them out. And
awesome.
And,
And also, you mentioned earlier that that you're working on the Great Pyramid, and there's an awesome discovery. So definitely check out David's work, and there'll be more updates, and check out his stuff. So, David, thank you so much for having you coming on the show, and great to have you. And hopefully later on this year you can come back and tell us more about the Great Pyramid and what else you found out.
All right.
Excellent. Well, you have a great night. Thank you. And with that, we're going to go into some District 808. Thank you, David, again for coming on the show. And just a real quick wrap up. Next week we have Colin Andrews coming on the show, world's number one crop circle researcher, colinandrews.net. Also joining us that show is Andy Hoffman, Ranting Andy. He's an amazing metal, precious metals broker. He's going to talk to us about some safe things we can do for the economic collapse and stuff that's happening. Week after that, we have Michelle Manners from palaceofpeace.com. And then on the 24th, we have Alan Steinfeld, Power of Perception, Creating New Realities, and that's newrealities.com. That's Alan Steinfeld. I met Alan and Alex Gray at Alex Gray's house about 6 months back when I was in New York. You can check out the YouTube on my YouTube channel, Jonah Bolt. Also, check out my Twitter feed and also my Facebook. You can get all that information at starseedenergyradio.com. And with that, Star fam, excellent show. Thank you all for listening. Light and love. And we're going to enjoy some more 808, and I will see you all, speak to you all, be with you all next week. Just get a hair in the line. We got the extra, right?